Anyway, let's have a word of prayer. We're going to dive into a message, our third and final installment of this collection of talks, okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this amazing day. And Lord, we just pause right now. There's a lot going to go on after the service today. It's going to be another week. And Lord, we leave a week behind us. But Lord, we want to be people who live in the moment. So Lord, help us to hit pause right now. Just hit the button and pause. And not to get so overwhelmed with what happened last week or what's going to happen this week. But we're here now. We're here now. Everybody just say that word, now. We're now. This could be a now moment where God would want to speak to us today. And Lord, we just ask that you would be with us today, that you would help us to have ears that hear, hearts that receive your word today. And we're just thankful for all that you're doing. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. So what we're doing right now is we're in the third week, week number three of this collection of talks called Parable Church, okay? And what we're doing in this collection of talks is all we're doing is we're looking at three different parables. And that's usually how Jesus taught. He would tell parables, stories. And we're hoping that these three parables will help shape the culture of our church. And that won't happen just because we hear. It will happen because now after we hear, we live it out. So we got to be live it out type of people. So 2 weeks ago, if you were here, even if you weren't, we still did it. That is, we talked about the parable of the prodigal son. And by the way, these messages are available to you online if you want to listen to them by chance. And we looked at the prodigal son from Luke chapter 15. And our takeaway from this parable is that we want to be a church where we value people. We want to be a church where we go beyond our selfish ambitions, and we really try to place a value on people, which, by the way, falls right in line with one of our values as a church. And that value is, and you've seen it enough times, and that is that every person has a name, okay? By the way, somebody told me last week, the thing that people like to hear more than anything is they like to hear their name. So look into your neighbor right now and just call them by name, Heather. All right, Nick. Let's just call Dan. Okay, did everybody get their name? Okay, and here's the deal about every person who has a name. Every one of those names has a story. Everyone has a story. If you were to take time to sit with that one person and you would share a story, you would find out their stories are made up of the good, the bad, and the what? Ugly. Okay, everybody has all those parts of their story. There's good parts, there's bad parts, there's ugly parts, but here's what I found out about church is we often give up on people when we begin to hear about the bad, when we begin to hear about the ugly, and that's not how God is. Does everybody hear me this morning? That's not how God is. God doesn't give up on us when we get ugly. And how many people are thankful for that this morning? Because I tell you what, I had a week this week when I was a little ugly. And I'm so thankful that God doesn't give up on me. And the cool thing is, he doesn't give up on us, so we can't give up on one another. So every person has a name, every name has a story, and every one of those stories matters to the one who created you. Every story matters to the God who formed you and made you while you were yet in your mother's womb. He knew each day of your life. Let that sink in and blow you away for a moment. That's the God we serve. And my thought is, who are we? If people matter to God, they need to matter to us. Does that sound logical? Reasonable? That everyone matters to us, okay? So last week what we did is we looked at this second parable, and it was the parable of the sower and the seed, which if you want to read about it, it's found in Matthew chapter 13. And we had two big takeaways last week from this story for us as a church. And the two big takeaways were, number one, that we as a church need to be faithful. We need to make sure that we're faithfully sowing the seed of God's word. Meaning every time we come together, it's not about sharing our ideas or our philosophies or our political views. And I want to let you know, there's times people come to me and they say, Mike, why don't you share more about all the political things that are going on in this world. And I'm just going to tell you right now, I have such limited time with you that I'm not going to make this about my political views. I'm going to make this about the seed. Amen? I'm going to make this about the seed of God's word, because I believe it's God's word that will give people hope. I believe it's God's word that will give people direction, and God's word will lead you on the path that he wants you to be on. So we are committed to sow seed. Wednesday night when those kids come back, we're going to sow the seed. Tuesday nights when we go to Bible study, we're going to sow the seed. Why? I believe that's the responsibility of every church, is to sow the seed of God's word. And then the second thing we're responsible for is we need to do our best as a church to prepare the soil for the seed. Prepare the soil for the seed. Prepare people's hearts so when they receive the seed that they'll be responsive. And last week at the end of the message, we talked about certain ways that we can prepare the seed. One is when you serve people, it's going to open up their heart. When you are warm towards people and inviting, that's going to open up people's hearts for the word. When we care for one another, when we listen to one another, even when we smile. And everybody, let's practice this. On the count of three, I want to see your best, like you just won $10 million. Let's see your best smile. And everybody at once, one, two, three. Well, I don't know about you, but if I win $10 million, it's going to be a lot bigger than your smile you just gave me. I'm going to be like, woo, let's go. Okay, let's move on from this point here. Today, we're going to look at the third and final parable. It's called the parable of the talents. You may have heard of it before, and it's found in Matthew chapter 25, and it's found in verses 14 through 29. So here's what we're going to do today is we're going to allow you to change position just for like 3 minutes. And I want you to stand today for the reading of the word, because my bride of 26 years is going to come up and she's going to read the text for us. Please follow along, Heather. Thank you.
Okay, Matthew 25, 14 through 29.
For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them to his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to anyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. I'm sorry.
All right. That's why we don't read out the ESV. I'm like, ESV, you guys are tongue twisters. But the only reason we left the NLT is because the ESV uses the word talent. So Heather, thank you for enduring the ESV. Next week, we will go back to the New Living Translation, okay? Woo! I was like, my head was spinning this week reading that. I was like, these are like little mysteries, okay? Father, we thank you for your word. And we just thank you for your word that gives us instruction and guidance. And Lord, I just pray that we would receive the instruction and the guidance, Lord, that you have for us. And it's in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless. You may be seated. All right. Okay, today what we're going to do is we're going to continue on the same path we've been taking. And that is, instead of looking at these parables from an individual standpoint, and I tell you what, I hope you didn't miss the individual message here, because it's huge. It's life-changing. You're here living with purpose and meaning. But today we're going to really try to look at it from, what does it mean for us as a church, right on the corner of Valley View and Cascade? What can we learn from this parable? And what I want to do today is I want to share with you just four observations quickly. The first observation I want to share with you, the characters that make up this story, okay? The first character in the story is the master, okay? The master, the wealthy master, apparently, who, by the way, is who in the parable? In the parable, he represents God. He represents God. And what happens is this master leaves for a long trip, but before he leaves, he calls in the second group of characters in the story. He calls in three characters, or three servants. Wasn't that good? He calls in three servants, and he's going to distribute to them different levels of talent. So first of all, we see the first servant in the story receives how many talents? And everybody said, five. I'm going to give you hand signals just to help you. The second servant received how many talents? And everybody said, two. And the third servant was given what? One talent. I want to let you know, in this story, the master still represents in our life God. But you represent, each one of us represent, we are a servant. Everyone who has said yes to Jesus as Savior, the Lord of your life, you fall into the category that you are now not your own, but you're his, you're a servant. So let's go on to the second observation. That is, let's talk about the value of a talent. I think this is pretty intriguing, the value of a talent. What is the value of a talent? A talent was a financial measurement that was the equivalent of about 20 years worth of income. 20 years worth of income. So one talent was worth two decades of a laborer's annual salary. So this is big stuff here, okay? And if you were to look at it today in 2021, the median household income, we would see that one talent would be the equivalent of you being given by your master $1.2 million. Okay, that is incredible. So let's do the math. If you were given five talents, you were given what? $6 million. If you were given two talents, you were given $2.4 million. And if you were given one talent, you were still given a whole bunch of money. You were given $1.2 million. Okay? And in today's culture, you could read this story and a lot of people would say, this is unfair, because that's just the culture we live in. Everybody should have the same. And in this story, not everyone gets the same, okay? Each one is given different amounts. And why is that? Why is that? You need to know why, because in verse 15, it says each one of those servants was given according to their ability. Each one of those servants was given according to their ability. So apparently, the master knew these servants well enough that he understood what they could handle. How many people don't know that not every person can handle the same amount? True or false? Well, thank you. A couple people are going to step out and say true. Not every one of us can handle the same amount. But how many people know our master is wise? He knows us well enough to know that I'm going to give to them according to what they can handle, and that is a blessing. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get more than I can handle and fail. So he gives them according to their abilities, according to their giftings and his talents. So the servants were not, they didn't have equal ability, but I want to make it clear that you understand that in the eyes of the master, they had equal value. equal value. So even regardless if you were given 5 talents or 1 talent, that's not the issue. The issue is you have equal value, and the issue is that the master has given you something, and the issue is that we need to be good stewards with what God has given us. Let's quit worrying about what we don't have and what someone else may have, and let's focus on this thought, God, what have you given me? And God, am I faithful with what you've given to me? See, there's a pastors of a lot bigger churches than our church, and I can look and say, God, I'm a 1-talent guy. I'm fine with 1 talent. My goal is I want to be faithful with what God gives me here. Amen? I'm not worried about the other guys. You do what God's called you to do. I'm going to be faithful with what God calls me to do. That's what I'm after here, okay? Then the third observation is the response of each servant, okay? So how did the servants respond to what they were given? Because the master leaves. We're not told how long his journey was. It may have been a week. I would assume it was probably years. He went away, and the servants got busy with what they were given. So my question to you today, are you getting busy with what God has given you? Are you getting busy with what God's given you? And we see the servant that was given 5 talents. What did he do? Right away, he went out, and he was very in the game, and he doubled what he had been given. So now he no longer has 5 talents. He has 10 talents, which, by the way, now he has, instead of $6 million, he now has $12 million. Then you look at the servant that was given 2 talents. He also went out, and he got busy. He got busy living life and investing what the master had given him, and he doubled his talent. So he went from 4 now to 2. So 2 for 2 so far. Now we go to the third servant, this guy that was given 1 talent. What did he do? He didn't go out and double it. He got lazy. And what he did is he hid the master's money in the ground. So instead of going out and increasing and working it and seeing what he could do with what he had been given, he went and buried it in the ground. So why did he do this? I think the answer is found in verse 24. He did it because he had a misunderstanding of the master. And we need to make sure that we don't have a misunderstanding of the master, because it says in verse 24, "Master, I knew you were a hard man, so I was afraid. Master, I knew you were hard. I was afraid, so I went and I hid your talent in the ground." So he had this misunderstanding of this guy who had been very generous enough to give him $1.2 million. He still saw him as hard. So he lived in fear. So my question for all of us today is, what is your view of God? What is your view of God? Do you see a God that's gracious and kind and gives gifts? Or do you see the God who is, you label as hard, unfair, and as a result, you don't do anything with what he's given you? We need to figure that out. And my prayer is that we'll have a proper view of God, but we'll see him, as we sang this morning, we'll see him as a good, good father. And he knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly what you can handle. He knows the gifts, the talents, the abilities that he has given you. It's all good. Are you willing to trust that he's a good father? And we need to figure that out in our lives today. We need to figure that out. How do we view God? So let's go on to the fourth observation. There's the text I was looking at. The fourth observation is this response of the master. So how did the master respond to the servants when he got back? We don't know how long the trip was, but he came back. And his response to the 2 servants, servant 1 and 2, who doubled 5 to 5 and 2 to 2, he gave the exact same response. I want you to listen to the response he gives to these guys that doubled what they were given. He said, "Well done, well done." And then he went on to say, "Well done, good and faithful." Everybody say faithful. That's a key word in this text. Good and faithful servant. You have been faithful. Let's say that again. Faithful, because that's a key word, over a little. A little? Hey, when you're talking about God, he owns it all. You know what I'm talking about? "And I will set you over much." And here's the reward he gives them. "Enter into the joy of your master." You use well the way you are given, you're going to enter to a place of joy. That's where the joy is, you guys, using what God has given us, okay? So this week I was thinking, okay, what's it going to look like for me when maybe I'm about 75, 80 years old? How am I going to define a successful life? How am I going to be able to say, you know, I was successful, or, ooh, maybe I wasn't successful? How am I going to determine success? So here's what happened. I was in the coffee shop this week, and I'm connecting with this guy that works there. And I said, hey, Joel, I said, I just have a question for you. I said, hey, when you're at the end of your life, when you're older in age, what will a successful life look like to you? And I loved it because he was very thoughtful. He didn't just throw something out. He thought about it. Wheels were turning. And his answer is, I know I'll be successful if everybody close to me, my family and my closest friends, I'll know I'll be successful that when they see me, they smile. I said, you know, that's a good answer. They smile because they still like you. I think that's a successful life. Instead of my kids thinking, oh, disaster. No, they smile. They like me, okay? But as I thought about it this week, the answer to the question is really in the text. And that is, a successful life is a life that when all is said and done, when we stand before the Father in heaven, you hear two words. And the two words are, everybody say them together, well done. I mean, is that success or not? To hear God, your creator, the one who invested in your life, the one who sent his son to die for you, the one who gave you talents, abilities, and gifts, won't that be success to hear that those words from the voice of our Father saying, well done? And the reason why he'll say well done is because you've been faithful in what you've been given. You won't be faithful because of how much you got or somebody else got and you didn't. The issue will be, were you faithful with what God gave you? Faithful in your little corner of the world, in your place of making a difference, were you faithful? And he'll say, well done, okay? But when it comes to the third servant, the response is totally different. It's different. It's different. And that is, he calls him what? A wicked, and he calls him a slothful servant. And what does he do? He takes the one talent away. And what does he do? He gives it to who? The guy with now 10. That is very interesting to me. So here's the lesson I want us to learn, and we're going to talk just briefly about individually. Here's the lesson I want us to learn, and that is the crux of the matter of this parable is this. Everybody say it together. Faithfulness, not fruitfulness. I want to let you know that's the crux of the parable, that you're faithful, that you've been a good steward, that you lived your life using what God has given you for him. So the crux of the parable is God wants us to be faithful. It's not about fruitfulness. It's not about how much. It's about, were you faithful living your life with what God gave you? Were you faithful? You're going to stand before him. It's not going to be a crowd. It's going to be you and him. And here's the application. I love it because years ago, Rick Warren wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. And he said this. He said, at the end of life, every one of us is going to stand before God. Think about this. And there's going to be a final examination for your life, okay? Who knows how old you'll be, but we'll stand before God at death, and there's going to be a final exam. And on the final exam, there's going to be two questions. And the first question that you'll be asked is, what did you do with Jesus? What did you do with my son? I sent my son to die on a cross so that your sins can be forgiven, so that we can have peace together for eternity. And the question is, what did you do with Jesus? Did you receive him, make him your savior, the Lord of your life, or did you push him away and say, Jesus, I don't need you. I'll do life my own way. Will you receive or did you reject Jesus? What did you do with Jesus? That's on the final exam. Check the box. Number two, the second question is, what did you do with what God gave you? The question is, God will say, I gave you this. I gave you this. I gave you these talents, these abilities, times, gifts, resources. Hey, what did you do with what I gave you? It won't matter what somebody else has received. It's going to be you and God answering those two questions. What did you do with my son, Jesus? What did you do with what God gave you? Okay? By the way, I hope you're ready. I hope you're using your life every day to prepare for that day. You're using today well, using what God has given you well today. Not just coasting, not just saying, oh, the golden years are over. Just use, are you using, are you preparing well with what God's given you? And I want to say that to everyone in this room. So that's what it means to you. Now, what does it mean to us as a church? And that is that we as a church, we also need to be faithful. We need to be faithful. Journey Church must be faithful with the talents and the treasures that God has given us. We need to make sure that we're using well the things of value that God has given to us. So what are those two things? What are the things that God gives to every single church, including us? And by the way, he gives us two things, and these are the only two things in the world that are eternal. And that is, he gives us, number one, God gives us, everybody say it together, the Bible. He gives us his word. Now, we as a church, are we being faithful to teach the word? Or are we trying to just express our ideas and our philosophies? Or are we faithful to teach the word? We need to be a church that we're serious about teaching the word. And everybody said, amen. It's the pillar of truth. Okay? So we got to teach the word. So we need to be faithful. Are we doing that? And then the second thing that God has given us that's eternal is people. People. Every person is eternal. Every person has a soul. We're made up of body, soul, and spirit. And there's a part of you that's going to live on forever, and that's called your soul. So we as a church want to make sure that we're being faithful with what God's given us. He's given us his word, and he's given us you, people. Every one of us, he's given as a special, special gift, okay? So listen to me very carefully here. We're almost done. Our primary objective, listen to that word, primary. Our primary objective is not to grow a big church. That's not our primary objective. Our primary objective is to grow big people. How many people know there's a huge difference? You guys aren't as excited as I am right now, I can tell. Our primary objective is to build you to be a big person for God. Are you hearing me this morning? God wants, that's our heart, is we want you to be a big person for God, okay? And we want to do that by loving and caring. But actually, I want to introduce you to our next sermon series today that will begin in a couple weeks. And that is, I want to introduce you to this whole thought. It's two things, eternal, God's word, God's people. Let's go to the next slide. In your life, there's four stages of growth. And we're going to look at this in the next series. I think we're going to call it Next. Four stages of growth for every person. The first stage of growth is we want every person to know God. That's it, hands down. We want every person to know God. And how many people know we know God through Jesus Christ? So we'll talk a week about that. I don't want to jump too much into this. Second thing we want for every person that comes into Journey Church is we want every person to find freedom. I grew up in church, and I loved it. I loved it now more than I did then. But now my memories, I'm so thankful for my parents. And I grew up thinking that once you gave your life to Jesus and you declared that he was your Savior and Lord, you were done, you have arrived. And I want to let you know, over the last few years, I found out how mistaken I've been. And that is, there's a lot of people who walk into churches, there's a lot of Christians who know God, yet they're still living in some kind of bondage. They're still living in some kind of brokenness. They're still living with some kind of hurt, some kind of pain, some kind of habit. And I think it's time for the church to help people not only know God, we want to see you find freedom. Amen? Because whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. Yet there are a lot of people that walk into church week after week. They say, yes, I know God, but you're still living in bondage. And that's not what God wants. He wants you to find freedom. Amen? Woo! I want to find freedom more and more every day. So I think it's time that the church starts saying, hey, yes, you're saved, but hey, where are you at now? Have you ever the past? Are you over the past? Have you gotten victory from the past? Are you moving on? Have you found victory? And we'll talk about that in the days ahead. And then I want every person, this would be my goal, these things for us at Journey Church, is that every person would discover their purpose. That every one of you, that sits in this room week after week. You're not just here to fulfill a religious obligation and exercise. God has something much bigger for you, and he wants you to discover that he has a purpose designed for your life that no one else has, but you have, and he wants you to discover the purpose. Why? And here's the fourth stage of growth, is now you can go out and you can make a difference. Amen? That's what God wants for all of us. Let's see these together. Number one. Okay, let's get energy. Number two. Number three. And number four. So let me just ask, where are you at? Do you know God? Have you ever said yes to Jesus? If you have, do you have freedom? Or are you living like the rest of the world? Yeah, my soul's good, but the rest of me is a mess. I don't want you to be a mess. I don't want to be a mess. Messy. God wants you to find freedom, discover purpose, make a difference. So these four stages of growth are going to be what we're going to look at the next few weeks. By the way, next week, Nolan will be speaking. I just don't want to keep that from you. He'll be speaking his final week here at Journey Church before his next destination. And when we get back, we're going to talk about these four things. And I tell you what, I want to see us as a church being faithful with you. You matter to God. You matter to us. I don't only want to see people get saved. I want to see people begin to live free. Live free. And everybody knows you're free. And they're like, what is up with that person? They're free. I want every person to discover purpose and make a difference. So as we close this parable, church parable message series, what's our first message? Our first message week one is that every person matters. Every person's valuable. Last week, what was our message? Our message is we got to be faithful to plant the seed. We got to be faithful to prepare the soil. And what's the message today? The message is that we need to be faithful with what God has given us as a church. He's given us his word. He's given us you. He's given us you. And you matter to God, and he has something big for your life. And everybody said, amen. Woo! That's it. And I just want to encourage you, what has God given you that you need to be faithful with? Amen? So why don't we stand to our feet? I can preach this sermon all over again.